welcome to the Spike Hunters Podcast. My name is Dylan McGovern, and also with me is co-host Carson Rain.
We will be discussing last year's deer season, summer food plots and stands, summer scouting, and new hunting gear, and game plan for this year.
Our first topic of the night is going to be discussing last year's deer season. I'll let Carson start this one off.
Alright, so last year was not a good year for me. So I went about out every day, try and shoot a deer. I probably got 2 or 3 within the whole year, but I need to work on my aim. So it's like beginning of the year, I'm hunting out. I'm behind some brush just trying to find a spot. And doe walks out about 5 minutes left the shooting light. I said, all right, I'm going to sling a bolt right at it. And I shoot. And I hit the deer, but it was not a good hit. So the thing was on the ground rolling, and I don't know, I just always hate seeing deer misery, so I quickly reloaded my bolt. Then I finally got a good shot, probably my only good shot of the year. I put it in the heart, and then, yeah. Then I took it back out to the shop and cleaned it. First doe I ever cleaned all by myself. But overall, I'll say it's a lot easier to take it to a butcher, get what you want. And my other memorable hunt of the year was a piebald buck. Now, I don't really like to talk about this because it not end well as also. But I'm going out on a hunt, probably like seeing got 8-9 deer right in front of me 20 yards away. I don't know how I didn't spook.
Now, let me interject. Carson and I often Snapchat each other when we're deer hunting. And the only video I got the entire night was a video of him sneakily videoing a piebald buck walking right to his corn, and it was a spike, I believe. So he was questioning whether he should shoot it or not, and I was obviously telling him to shoot it because the piebald is pretty rare around here. So I'll let him tell what happened next.
Yeah, so I was really worried because I don't really like to shoot spikes, but we're the Spike Hunter Podcast, so that's what I'm meant to be on here for. So he gets real close. I wait about 2 minutes. I said, "All right, I'm gonna shoot him," and this is like the calmest I ever felt. I don't know why, probably because he was in front of me for so long. I just got used to it. I was like, all right. I shoot him. I was like, bet, that's dead deer. I just killed a piebald buck. I'm like freaking out. But then he kind of stops after 40 yards and just stands there. I'm like, what's he doing? Is he about to drop? Like, I don't know. And it's just all worried. So then I was like, all right, what's he doing? Then he finally just keeps on walking off. And I'm worried that I hit it like a bad shot. And I called Dylan. I was like, yo, I shot him. I wait about 10-15 minutes, get out of my stand. And I show all the blood. And I was like, all right, bet, that's a good shot. He's dead deer. Then we start tracking. And it kind of slowly went downhill from there. We start finding blood, huge pile of blood, where he just kind of stood there for like a minute. And I didn't really tell them that because I didn't want to admit it was a bad shot. And we keep on tracking, and we probably go 200-400 yards, and the blood just kind of goes out to a field and just stops there and the track. And I just called it a night, probably 2 hours after scouting. Then I left school early the next day, go check it out, and same thing from there, couldn't find any more, and that was just the end of it.
It was quite unfortunate, I'd definitely say. I think after that, Carson and I definitely talked about where he was aiming on a deer. We also checked his crossbow, so we definitely made sure that that was shooting straight after 2 poor hits on a deer. It's unfortunate, but, you know, live and learn. Did you have any other deer discussions to talk about from this past season? Or
Rifle wasn't really like anything big for me, so I think that's about it.
We didn't have the greatest rifle season considering everybody and their grandparents hunts Carson's father's properties with a rifle and kills every single deer, so it's a bit rough. Although I would admit that Willard's definitely has a lot of spike hunters, so if any of you out there like them, you can definitely relate to them.
Yeah, so basically, if you want a free hunting spot, you can probably call up the farmer Daniel Rain, and he'll let you right on. Like, for a rifle to stand right next to us, I think they shot probably 15 deer out of the stand.
In a 2-week time span, actually, so, yeah.
They're averaging about 1 per day, yeah. So.
It's definitely tough, but, you know, we persevered. All right. So, is it?
Yeah. So, like, what was your rifle season like?
So, I'll just start with my bow season to begin with. I definitely think I bow hunted harder this past year than I ever had before. I think I hunted about 20 sits from September through October. So that was actually quite a lot. I actually was extremely unsuccessful every single time I went. There was multiple times where I only saw fawns, and I'm not shooting a fawn. One chance in particular, I had a group of two large does walk out, and right as I was about to draw back on one of the does to kill my first archery deer in the best, 3 years, the wind swirled and she looked right up at me and blew off, and she ran off. So that kind of sucked, but live and learn. I think the only other chance I had at a really mature doe that rest of that season was when it had a fawn, and I wasn't really about that, so I let her pass. After bow season, but right around November 26th, whenever our rifle season opens up, mm-hmm. I began rifle hunting fairly hard. Carson and I actually went out youth weekend, which was the weekend before rifle opener, and we shot a doe and missed a doe, but we won't discuss who missed which. So, I'll leave it up to your imagination. Okay, you're going to interject.
I hit the doe. That's all I'm going to say. The doe just happened to have good genetics and happened to get away.
All I'm going to say is we had a 4K camera out there with 300mm zoom, and after replaying the video multiple times, we can
see there was a little hit on the gut.
I just do not believe that he touched the deer. So thankfully, I think it is still alive and breathing today. So
let's hope.
Moving on to my rifle season, I had a bit of a rough start to my rifle season. I think the second time I went out, I had a 6-point Sika Stag walk out, and with a mix of buck fever and a bump scope, we shot it, and it was about 4 inches low, so that was quite unfortunate. I missed the stag. It was a combination of a squirrel spooking the deer and me being too excited and shooting extremely early. It was quite unfortunate, but I live and learn. So I think about 4 days after I missed this stag, I asked my mom, I begged her to let me leave school early one day, and I ran out to the deer stand. I set up, during rifle season I hunt my neighbor's property, and he is a almost professional manager of game, and he definitely knows what he's talking about. So when he told me I was hunting this stand, he basically told me, they're going to come out from your left. Always look to your left. You don't even have to look to your right unless you want to see if there's anything running across the open field, because they have been eating the corn like crazy to your left. And so, like he instructed, I was watching the corn pile to my left. I barely looked off to my right. Well, let's say about 3:45 in the afternoon, 4:30, I decided to just look to my right by chance, and standing about 100 yards in front of me is a beautiful 8-point buck. I thought he was quite smaller than he was. With the naked eye, he looked a little bit tiny. I put my binoculars on him, and he stared right at me. I quickly learned that he was not, in fact, small. So I raised my rifle up, and luckily this time, with a newly sighted in rifle, I was able to put a good shot on him, and he fell within 30 yards of being shot. It was quite gratifying, to say the least, to get this deer. It was actually my first ever buck, so I definitely say it was a good way to end my deer season, because after that, I strictly duck hunted the rest of the year. So, yeah, that's about the end of our season. I'm really hoping that by the end of this coming season, Carson and I each have a buck down, hopefully with our bows or crossbows, whichever way we would like to hunt. And, yeah, I mean, I really hope it'll be just as successful in some ways as the past two seasons that we had. Because Carson actually I know we were talking about this season. I know we said he had a rough this past season, but actually 2 years ago, he did kill a nice 11-point buck with his crossbow to be his first buck ever. And I definitely congratulate him on that.
Hoping to do the same this year. And
let's hope he doesn't shoot it in the leg this time, though. That was also another tragic story. Do we want to talk about that? We have some time left in the segment.
Yeah, so I was walking out. I was kind of having a rough night that night. I probably had 5 or 6 does walk out, and I think all 6 does probably blew right at me, all spotted me. Be honest, I cannot sit very still. But then this buck, I finally hear some, like, around, like, an hour left the shooting light. I hear some off to my right. I said, I'm not making the same mistake as last time. So I'm already aimed in on my crossbow, not moving an inch. I'm just aiming in the corn pile, just seeing what's going to walk up. And through the scope, I see antlers, and I start freaking out. And I slightly move the gun off to the right, put it right on him, and I pull the trigger. And I waited forever to get down. Probably like, actually, I didn't wait at all because I didn't know you're supposed to wait. But probably like
early in our deer hunting careers.
Yeah, probably right after I shot. I watched him for probably 30 seconds, and I got down, and I checked the bolt, and I couldn't find the bolt probably for about 2-3 minutes. And I finally found it on the ground, and it had some blood in it, and then I sent a picture to Dylan.
Yeah, let me interject. Carson actually did not say a single word. All he did was send a photo of a bloody crossbow bolt to our group chat, and then I think when he started tracking and did not find much blood, he tried to ignore that he ever sent it. So I'll let you continue. Sorry.
Yeah, so I was like, all right. So I was like, I might need some help tracking this because it did not really fall down within the first 100 yards.
Yeah.
But then I saw the way it went. And we probably have 5 people out there. We have my dad, another friend of his dad, and Dylan out there. We're all tracking, and we can't find anything. Then we just finally give up after tracking about like 2-3 hours.
Yeah, I'd say.
The next morning was also super rough morning. I think my eyes are wrong.
Let me interject. So the next day was youth duck season. So we headed out to a spot I have on the local river, and we had multiple flocks of geese fly by us. And let's just say myself and one of our other close friends were able to hit the geese, and Carson definitely had a rough morning. Whether that reflected his shooting from the previous night or not, I don't really know, but he probably was slightly distracted, so I'll give him that. But the geese hunting is not the part of the story that we care about. Let's talk about the deer. So let me just take this one part, and then I'll let you talk, all right? We get back to the spot where Carson shot the deer, and I don't know. I'm also a first-generation hunter, so I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I kind of asked Carson. I was like, Do you know where that deer ran off? And he was like, oh, well, yeah, of course. I watched him run off this direction. And, I mean, here we were the entire night before walking all around, not knowing where he started. And so, obviously, it was hard to find blood because it was, we later determined, a gut shot. So there was some issues plugging up. But both the entry and exit holes were plugged up with guts and pellets of corn and stuff like that. So we go to the spot and we start finding blood.
Yeah, so I pointed in the direction, and there's probably a 50-yard gap of blood. Mm-hmm. And so the deer probably ran, it was like 20 yards after he ran, we found blood. But then after that, probably around 70, 80 yards was the next drop of blood. And then from there, it just kind of started picking up, and we were finding like a drop of blood.
It was probably the hardest track job we've ever had to do. It was quite literally hands and knees looking for, honestly, pin drop specks of blood for quite a while. And then all of a sudden, like, I think it was 300 yards from where you shot him, right?
I'll say like 150.
150, really? Okay. It felt like, I don't know, it might have felt longer to me.
Yeah, I think around like 150, though, kind of started picking up, and we started walking. Then I just happened to look up, because we were always just looking down trying to find blood.
Yeah.
And he was probably 30 yards in front of us, on the ground, dead. And I start freaking out. I'm like, oh my God. And there he was, just sitting right in front of us. Yeah. But then the hard part kind of came, and we had to drag him back. And
yeah, that kind of sucked. That kind of sucked.
And man, I got a workout that day. That was...
But I think all in all, it's a good first buck story, you know. Yeah. Never, it shouldn't come easy, so. Yeah.
Had to learn the hard way.
Yeah, yeah. So we ended up learning that he hit the deer in the guts and it clipped a leg artery. So actually when the butcher cut it open, it dropped about 3 gallons worth of blood out of its stomach because it had a lot of internal bleeding. So,
I didn't want to make the deer hunt easy.
Yeah, no, so of course.
We wanted to challenge
Shadow. Yeah, of course. That's what the spike hunters are about. So, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. So yeah, that's about all for our last season and Carson's first buck, which was two seasons ago. So hopefully you like our next segment, which is discussing what we actually did this past summer to prepare for this upcoming deer season.
A word from our sponsor.
Are your deer going to your neighbor property because you ran out of corn? Well, that could no longer be a problem if you come down to Rain Acres, where you can get 50 and 100 pounds of corn for the low price, $6.99 and $12.99. This is a deal of the century, and it won't last long, so make sure to come to Rain Acres so you can get that buck you have been talking about.
And for this next segment, co-host Dylan McGovern will be talking about food plots and stands.
The second segment.
Thank you very much, Carson, for introducing the topic of my quick segment. So, to get right into it, after last year's deer season, Carson and I had big plans for what we were going to do in order to increase our chances to shoot the biggest possible deer. So, for those of you who do not live in Willards, Maryland, you may not know, but Willards is notoriously known for unfortunately shooting all of the deer that they see, following the motto, if it's brown, it is down. And as a result, it is very hard to find large concentrations of large deer. Carson and I were determined to break this stereotype and create the best habitat and opportunities possible for us to shoot the biggest deer. As a result, we went out this summer and we found four specific spots on two separate 40-acre properties that provided us with the best opportunity to shoot a deer. On these spots, we first came through with a chainsaw and cut down all trees out of the way, created a small eighth of an acre clearing in the woods. Next, we went to the store and purchased clover seed. Once we purchased this clover seed, we decided that we were going to make what is known as a kill plot. This kill plot, unfortunately, was not a success because we did not know that it was important to test the soil and see how much pH was in the soil at the time and how much lime and other nutrients we needed to add. However, this clearing in the woods created a highway for the deer to travel on, and regardless of our failed efforts to create a food plot, they still became very popular spots. For those of you who do not live in Maryland and other states where you are allowed to bait, I feel bad for you. We are able to bait here in Maryland, and as a result, come August, Carson and I began feeding deer consistently. It's actually quite useful in the great state of Maryland to be able to feed deer, because if you were not able to, it would be, per se, a little bit more difficult to locate the deer because we have so many agricultural fields here on the eastern shore of Maryland. So right around August, we began feeding for deer, and it's at this exact same time that Carson and I individually went out and hung four separate stands at each of our new spots. On my personal secret spot that I will be the only one hunting, we hung a hang-on stand in a tree. It is hidden perfectly with a holly tree as the backdrop. And on Carson's personal stand, he hung a ladder stand overlooking the corn and the food plot and a clearing, and it looks amazing. So I'm extremely excited to see how this stands to pan out. I am happy to say that our cameras have been sending us pictures of multiple large deer, and as a result, I'm extremely excited to say that our hard work is seeming to pan off. I am looking forward to this year's deer season, and I really hope that both of us can bag two large bucks each. Thank you. For our final segment of the podcast, my co-host Carson Rain will be discussing this year's coming deer season and the plans we have in order to kill the biggest spikes.
The third segment.
All right, so for this year, we got a lot of stuff on the mind for game plan. So we got all stuff included from food plots, which Dylan should talk about. Then we got cameras. We got putting out corn, we got stands, and finally we got the deer we're going after. So, the cameras, we got them out. We got out around like 5 to 6 cellular cams. We got around 2 to 3 like just regular cams. The only problem about cell cams, they get pretty expensive. Personally, I use Moultrie mobile cams. They're like relatively cheap, but only problem is they have a high annual like price fee. But back to it, so we just got out trail cams, and around like June, so we're just gonna see what deer we have on the property, see if our spots are good, and make sure everything's all right. We don't want to be putting out a stand where there's no deer activity at all. So that's basically a big part of putting out cams early, just trying to see activity, what you got. And also it helps out a lot during later season where you can tell where to go hunting, when to go hunting, and all the patterns around it. So
corn.
Corn is very important for so we hunt in Maryland, so it's completely legal to bait there for deer. So with corn, it helps you bring in deer, sees what deer you have, and they'll honestly just be there a lot more. So in June, we started putting out some corn, just to get them towards the trail cameras, get more activity on the spots we're hunting, and honestly just see what deer we have there. So that's basically one of our plans this year. Just we're going to try to see what deer we have, work our way around that, and try to execute that later in the season. So then next we got like stands. So I originally had like 2 stands out before this year. Then I just bought 2 more. It's like some big game 18-foot like ladder stand. I personally use ladder stands. I just find them easier. Some people like using climbers so you can just get around more places. But for me, I just like ladder. It's easier. It's always there. And I feel a lot more safer in them. So that's why I personally recommend those. Then also make sure you build them right, because the last 2 stands I put up, definitely not too good on them. Definitely not well built. The first one I tried to like build with my dad, he kind of just did it, kind of just bullshitted it. And honestly, it didn't really work. So it works, but you feel like you're going to fall out of it. And second one, I kind of messed that one up too. I was kind of too scared of heights, so I only put up 12 feet. And I'll speak a lot of deer out of that stand, but somehow that stand still works, and that's the one stand I actually killed my buck out of. So then for this year, I got the 2 18 foot. So I'll make sure to show and try to be a little bit higher so the deer can't see me. And I think that's, and also build it a lot better, hopefully higher quality, so I don't feel like I'm going to fall down with the littlest gust of wind. And then I think the final part of this year is maybe just executing the deer we have. So we got, as soon as we put out the trail cams, we're going to try to see the bigger bucks we have and probably focus a little bit more. I know it's kind of towards like last year, I had like a couple stands or like a couple spots where I had buck activity all year long. So then I feel like if we get a couple of those, put stands down those spots, we're going to try to hunt those earlier in the year, see if we can get a buck earlier. And then we also got a couple doe stands where those tend to be better for like the rut. And that's the buck I killed was a rut buck out of like a doe stand. So we're going to try save those towards the end of the year and hopefully get those ready for like prime rut season and maybe kill even bigger buck out of those stands. But I think that's all for this year. I think that's our total game plan, and that's it.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to tune into our next episode where we will discuss the current hunting season with a very, very special guest.